Tēnā koutou katoa. Greetings to all of us who are gathered here today. Today we continue in our series looking at Psalm chapter 33. This is also the first Sunday of Advent, the four Sundays leading up to Christmas. And so the theme of our service is hope. So we're looking again at Psalm 33, this time the second half of it, building from where we have been last week as we were reminded to sing joyfully, to get into God's word and to enjoy God's creation. I'm going to jump ahead to the very last couple of verses that relate to hope. In verse 20 we read, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Lord, may your unfailing love be with us, even as we have put our hope in you." I'm not sure what things you put your hope in. Or when we look at the world around us, what are the places where our world places their hope? It seems that there is a lot of different things. People put their hope in money, they put their hope in a job, they put their hope in a vaccination, they put their hope in a political system or a leader, and yet all of these things are inadequate. Some of these areas are helpful in the life and the world around us, and yet they're not the thing that we put our hope in. Our hope must be placed in the Lord, in the unfailing love of our God. So let's jump back to verse 10 and read through Psalm chapter 33. The first part of this section looks at God's plans for all of the nations. Listen to these words. "The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart throughout all generations. And so blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," the people that he has chosen for his inheritance. See, in these verses, we see that political systems and leaders and empires, they can rise and they can make their plans, but God is above all of those things. God thwarts their plans. God is the one whose plans stand firm forever. And we need to be reminded of this, that our hope must not be in any other system apart from in God himself, because God is the one that is secure. God is the one that is steadfast, that will endure throughout all time, no matter what the circumstances. We need to put our hope into the plans of the Lord, which will stand firm forever. The next section of this verses in Psalm 33, reading from verse 13, it turns towards the plans of the individual, for you and for I. "From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all of humankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all of those who live on the earth, and he forms the heart of all who considers everything they do." God is looking at our hearts. God is looking at the things that we put our trust in. God is wanting not just the nations to turn to him, but the individuals, for you and for me, to turn to him fully, to put our trust completely in God's plans. I love these next verses. Listen to these words and think about what this might look like in a modern context. From verse 16, "No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his own great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all of its strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. He will deliver them from death and he will keep them alive during the famine. At this time, we could look around us. What could be represented by the kings described in these ancient verses? We may look around the world and see political leaders, and we could say no political leader is strong enough to save us. That's not where our hope is. We could look at the size of their army and their military and their weapons and their power that they hold. And yet none of the world's military forces are able to save us or to protect us. We need to put our hope in God. We might look at health systems and vaccines and things that have been designed to protect people. And there might be some significant value in that, particularly in this season, but that is not where our ultimate hope is in. Our hope for protection and for salvation does not come from any medical science. As much as we might value these and see these in some ways as a gift from God, yet those things are not what we put our hope and our security in. Our hope must be placed in the Lord. Our hope does not come from the strength of horses or the technology of Tesla. No, our strength comes from the Lord. There are all these incredible technologies that are growing and their strength and power, their ability to connect people and to make incredible advancements in this world. But our hope is not in those technologies. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in money or the banking system. Our hope is in the Lord. So the world may offer all of these powerful solutions. And all that Psalm 33 is really saying is that the very best that the world has to offer is not enough for us to put our hope in. That's not the place of our strength. That's not the place of our protection. Our hope is in the Lord. And so, the psalm writer says, we wait. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, and we trust in his name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we have put our hope in you. I have here a small anchor. It's an anchor that is good for kayaking when you're out on the Manukau in the shallow waters, the sandy base there. This is a suitable anchor for kayaking in a safe harbour. I'd like to read another verse about hope from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. This hope enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf, and he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It points to this priestly system. It points to this place of salvation. It points to this inner place in God's presence, God's presence, God's kingdom on earth represented in that temple. And in that temple, in that most holy place, that place of relationship with God, that place of restoration of all of humanity, that place where Jesus Christ himself went into, who made a way, the veil was torn. As he hung on that cross and died and rose again, he made a way for us to enter back into relationship with God. And this is the place where our hope is anchored, in Jesus Christ alone. He is the one. He is the sure foundation. He is the one that we can put our trust and our hope in. Now this anchor here, it's a small anchor. It's ideal for kayaking. It's fine to use when you're in the safe harbour in shallow waters. But I wouldn't want to be depending my life upon this anchor if I was in a bigger boat or a bigger ship in a different setting where there were big storms. This anchor would be inadequate. On the screen, I want to show you another anchor. This is an anchor that is now at the entrance of Te Papa Museum down in Wellington. This is considered to be the earliest European item that has been found in New Zealand. It's the anchor of the ship Saint Jean Baptiste. In 1769, this French captain, Jean-François Marie de Seville, it's been a long time since fourth form French, I'm hoping I pronounced that correctly. But de Seville was exploring New Zealand. This is only a couple of months after Captain James Cook had arrived on our shores. They were simultaneously exploring New Zealand without awareness of each other. And in this particular time, there was a great storm, and Saint Jean Baptiste's ship put out its large anchors. The storm was strong and beating against the ship, and some of those anchors began to move and to drift. And so they had to be cut free. And so there, this huge anchor lay for centuries. It was discovered by the explorer Kelly Tarleton and gifted back to the nation. This is a huge anchor. It's 4.5 meters long. It weighs 1,400 kilograms. And this anchor, kids, just imagine, just look at your door. Look at a door in the house. And imagine that this anchor is more than twice as long as a door. It is huge. It's much bigger than this. And this is the kind of anchor that you might need for a huge ship that is weathering the storms. And yet, it didn't seem to be enough to rescue that situation. We have an anchor to our soul, and it is hope in Jesus Christ. Comparatively, it's a much bigger anchor and far more dependent. And not just because of the size of this figurative anchor of hope, but because of where that anchor is placed. And the Hebrew writer describes it as our anchor is connected behind the veil. Our anchor holds us into the very place in God's presence, in His strength, where Jesus Christ has made a way. Our hope is not in a physical anchor. Our hope is not in a physical circumstance. Our hope is not in a physical system in this world. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And this week, there are some other verses I'd love to reflect on as we think about this word hope. In Psalm chapter 62, and reading from verse 5 and 6, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. God is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. Today, perhaps you might like to light a candle of hope, and sit silently in that place of remembrance, remembering to put your hope in Him. To exchange this anchor that we have placed in other things and put it back behind the veil. Put it back in God's presence. Put it back where there is a place of security. There's another verse that I love in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, those who hope in the Lord, another translation is those who wait in the Lord. There's the sense of waiting and hoping. When we look back at the original word, there's the sense of intertwining. It's like a cord that is being created, that is being woven together. Those who hope, those who wait, those who are entwined in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Today, if you're feeling weary, if you're feeling faint or exhausted, maybe we need to spend time waiting, hoping, time at Advent, thinking about the arrival of our Savior, thinking about the second coming of Jesus, who will put all things right and make all things new again. Don't look at the storm. Don't look at the circumstances. Let's see our hope like an anchor to our souls, secure behind the veil in the presence of God, because Jesus Christ has made a way, and indeed Jesus Christ is our hope.